is a special live edition of The Debrief. For those of you watching on the Law and Crime Network, we're going to bring you live right now to testimony in the nationally watched trial of Amber Guyger. She, of course, is the Dallas police officer accused of shooting and killing Botham Jean. Guyger went home, opened the door, saw Jean, and opened fire, thinking he was an intruder, but she was in the wrong apartment. Guyger shot and killed John in his own home, and now she's being tried for murder. Here's the breakdown of the jury. There are 12 jurors and 4 alternates all mixed in together. 12 are women, 4 are men, 7 members of that jury are black. Let's bring you in live now to testimony. There is a police sergeant on the stand right now. His name, Robert Watson.
When officers respond to a burglary call, correct?
Yes, sir.
Is that because officers are prepared or trained to expect a dangerous situation if there's a burglary in progress?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's other contingencies, barricaded person, use of canine. Those are all part of the best practices for officers responding to dispatch calls. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, getting back to the burglary in progress call that states about being prepared for possible ambush. To you, does that mean if an officer is responding to a burglary in progress call and the officer is attacked?
Yes, sir.
And there's the other contingencies in the police department's general orders and standard operating procedures. They don't negate an officer's right to self-defense, do they?
Not that I'm aware of.
And you're familiar with the way that officers are trained and CRT officers are trained, correct?
Yes, sir.
And they're trained, as part of their training with the Dallas Police Department, they're trained in self-defense. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Including through the use of a firearm, correct?
Yes, sir.
Briefly, Your Honor. Sergeant Watson, where are officers trained to shoot an individual?
At the Firearms Training Center.
And where on an individual's person
are
they trained to shoot them?
In their torso, I'm sorry.
In their torso?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that also considered center mass?
Yes, ma'am.
No further questions, Your Honor. Pass the witness.
Did you have
No, ma'am.
Did you have further cross?
Pass the witness.
May you be excused? Would you like me subject to recall?
I know he has some trip issues. I don't want to interfere with that, but just to have us the opportunity to recall him just in case and subject to the rule.
All right. So, Sergeant Watson, you certainly understand that there may be a need to recall you to the witness stand. And so please don't discuss your testimony with any other persons and don't do so with anyone except the attorneys. And make certain you're outside the presence of any other witnesses.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Testimony there from a Robert Watson, a police sergeant, and on the redirect, we heard testimony about where police officers are trained to shoot people. Attorney Byron Brown is watching remotely along with us here. Byron, what do you make of where this officer is going? Is this trying to basically say that what Amber Guyger did was just reflexive as to training, or is this somehow trying to tie it into the murder charge? Because I'm struggling to see some of the connections here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right with you. I find it a little tough to tie it together. I think what you said on the latter part is true. I think the prosecution is going to use this testimony to show that she had the intent to do what she did And that was, according to her training, was, you know, she saw a threat, she shot him, she intended to shoot him exactly where she shot him. And I'm assuming what else is going to come out is you shoot him in center mass. Obviously, that's the biggest area of the body, but also it can cause someone to go down or become dead. So I think it goes directly to their intent to prove intent.
Intent to kill, okay, but it doesn't necessarily get to the whole defense or trying to overcome the defense that this was a mistake. We have an officer, Rivera, the partner of the defendant, now on the witness stand. Let's listen back in live.
And I'm going to ask you either hold that microphone a little bit towards you. We've got jurors all the way down here. I want to make sure they hear you. And you may want to speak up just a little bit, okay?
Okay.
All right. How long have you been with the Dallas Police Department?
16 years.
All right. And are you currently assigned within the crime response team?
That's what it's called. No, I'm not.
Okay. Where are you now?
I work Southeast Patrol on the day shift.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the crime response team. For the time period that you were on it, tell me a little bit about the unit.
When I was on it, some of our responsibilities were locating and apprehending wanted fugitives, investigating street-level narcotics complaints, following certain crime trends. For example, if there was a rash of robberies in a certain area, then we would target that area and, you know, take enforcement. There's times when if it was called, we'd work in a covert capacity and surveil target houses, wanted fugitives.
How long were you on CRT?
About 5 years.
And is overtime regular and common on CRT?
Yes.
Tell me about Amber Guider. First of all, do you see her in the courtroom today?
Yes.
Please point to her and tell me what she's wearing.
Blue dress.
Let the record reflect the witnesses identified the defendant in open court. When did she join CRT?
I believe it was early 2017.
And when did you become partners with her?
Maybe around spring 2017, maybe the summer of that same year.
And did you guys end up becoming fairly regular two-man unit partners while you were on duty?
A lot of the times we were, yes.
Okay. And you have a great deal of respect for her, is that correct?
Yes.
And I believe that she also likes you very much. You guys develop a close relationship as partners, is that fair to say?
Yes.
All right. And let's talk now specifically about September the 6th, 2018. Did you work with her that particular day?
Yes.
Okay, and your regular hours are 8 to 4?
Yes.
So you guys were made aware that there was going to very likely be an overtime situation because of assistance with SWAT?
Yes.
All right. Were you able to, I guess, agree with, or did you have a problem with working the overtime hours on that particular day?
There was a conflict on my end, so I wasn't able to work worked overtime, just not the full overtime shift that the other guys worked.
Okay, so you left before 6 p.m., is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Was this going to be a personal event that you wanted to attend?
Yes.
Okay. What about Amber Geiger? I'd like you to tell me a little bit about her on that particular day. Did Amber Geiger seem to have her faculties about her?
Yes.
Seemed to be alert and aware of what was going on around her that day?
To my knowledge, yes.
I did. I mean, well, I'm asking you, did she show any obvious deficiencies?
None that I saw, no.
Okay. Did she seem to have the ability to see with her eyes?
Yes.
Was she able to read, like, license plates? Did you see any kind of vision issues that caused you any concern?
I didn't see any.
All right. Did she complain of being ill?
No.
Did she complain of having any kind of undue stress in her life?
No.
Did she complain of being tired when she got on duty?
No.
All right. Did she look like she did normally?
Yes.
All right. So let me just ask it like this. Was there anything obvious about her, either her appearance or her affect, that caused you some concern that she wasn't on her game on that day like she always is?
There was nothing that cause me any concern. No.
Did she seem to be handling her business in an appropriate way that day?
Yes.
Did she seem to be remarkably absent-minded for any reason?
No.
Okay. Did she complain to you about any kind of physical ailments that she was going through?
No.
Did she complain to you about any kind of fatigue?
No.
Memory loss?
No.
Any undue stress in her life that was interfering with her on this particular day?
No.
Okay. So in the morning, you guys were doing kind of business as usual in CRT?
Yes.
Was she acting appropriately for whatever calls you were taking or any actions that you were doing?
Yes.
I think that, as I understand the timeline, about noon or so, you guys went to the central substation to get briefed. Is that right?
Yes.
And who was giving the briefing?
The Dallas Police SWAT unit.
The SWAT officers?
Yes.
CRT, can you tell the jury why CRT was asked by SWAT to assist with that?
Well, a lot of times when it covers our division, the Southeast Division, they'll call us. And for that specific warrant, it had been a group of suspects who had committed 20-some-odd aggravated robberies. And we had apprehended two of them 2 days prior to that in North Dallas. And so we were kind of.
Let's take a break while we listen to this establishing testimony from Officer Rivera. Keep in mind, this is the officer with whom the state said the defendant was having a romantic relationship. The defense said that whole theory was just a distraction. We'll be back with more live testimony after this. We are back here on The Debrief with live coverage of the Amber Geiger trial in Texas. Let's listen now, Officer Martin Rivera on the stand. This is the officer with whom the defendant was said by prosecutors to have had a romantic interest, a relationship. The defense says that whole thing is just a distraction to whether or not she was justified in pulling the trigger. Let's go back in.
Before you do that.
I usually act when they tell me to. Like I said before, at the detective's request, we'll take him down.
Sure, I understand that. But let me just ask you this. You've arrested a lot of bad guys over the years, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever arrest a bad guy and say, listen, it's getting close to 5. I'm going to take you out of handcuffs. You just show up at headquarters tomorrow, and if you want to talk, we'll talk to you. Have you ever done anything like that?
No.
Okay. You want to get them down and have them interrogated by a detective as quickly as possible, right?
I don't know about quickly as possible, but sure, if it calls for an interview or an interrogation, then yeah, we'd like to get him interviewed.
Okay. And that's, in fact, what you guys did this day. You transported those individuals that were arrested down to Dallas Police Department headquarters. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you get back down to DPD about 2:15, 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon with the prisoners?
That's probably accurate.
Okay. So I'd like you to let the ladies and gentlemen of the jury know, what happens when you're at DPD and you guys are having to sit on, I apologize, I'm not a Dallas Police Department officer, so if I use language that's not appropriate, I've heard it say sitting on them. Is that right?
Yeah, we use that term.
Okay, tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what that means.
Sitting on them, obviously, you're not physically sitting on anyone. You're sitting outside of a door, watching that door, wherever the suspect is detained in a room, so basically just watching, making sure no one goes in or out other than the detective.
But they're also for an important reason, too. I mean, if they start acting a fool, you're the person who has to take care of it, right?
Yes.
Do you remember anything like that happening on the 6th, though?
I don't, no.
Tell me how that works as far as there was 5 of you guys and there were 3 prisoners. What is it that the 5 of you are going to do while the detectives are doing their interview?
Positively ID them, number one. And by that, you're looking up For us, it's called an AIS system, verifying their identity. It shows pictures, addresses, social security, personal information, just for a way for us to positively say.
We're going to take a brief moment to analyze some of what we're listening to now from the partner of the defendant in the law enforcement realm here. So Judge Ashley Wilcott is with me from Atlanta, Georgia. Judge, I'm trying to figure out the relevance of a lot of the questioning here. Generally speaking, you want to get in there, get the questions that you need to make your case. Was this defendant aware of the risk, the legally operative terms to try to get that top conviction in Texas and then get out of there? What's all of this discussion about how people are interviewed? Where are they going with this?
Well, I think they're trying to paint use very broad strokes to get every piece of information out of this witness that they can. So you already heard that they had him testify as to her state of mind. Was she tired? Any unusual activity or behavior? Absent-minded? Any physical ailments? All the questions were asked and the answers were no. Now they're continuing, I think, Darren, to really, again, use really broad strokes to paint a very large picture of she did not do anything that was unusual, and she should have had a normal state of mind, and how could she therefore be justified in pulling the trigger?
Yeah, I think that point was made, though, Judge Wilcott, with the first line of questioning, and now we've gone 5 or 10 or 15 minutes beyond that. Was the point not made?
Well, I think the point was made, but maybe the prosecution feels like they want to drive it home by continuing to ask more questions, say them a little differently, and keep painting that picture for the jury.
Okay, sometimes there's a risk of getting people lost in it. When that happens, though, let's listen back into the live testimony.
You left, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the four other members of the CR team, they remained after that?
Yes.
You and Amber Geiger, you share a, well, you guys both are very physically fit people, is that right?
I try to be, yes.
Okay. And Ms. Geiger, she also tries to remain physically healthy and very physically fit.
Yes.
All right, would you consider her to be at the time of this particular incident a very healthy, very fit officer?
Yes.
What did you, so after you left, what, approximately what time did you get home that particular evening?
It could have been just before 6, maybe a little after. I don't remember the exact time, but I would say between 5:30 and 6:30, maybe.
Okay. And what is your phone number? 972-834-5298. And at the time, did you have Amber Geiger's phone number?
Yes.
Guys talk with each other regularly?
Yes.
Did you text each other regularly?
Yes.
Did you and Amber Geiger send Snapchat images to each other?
Yes.
Did you guys send other images through MMS or text messages?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell the jury specifically on or about 9, well, let's just use 9-6 specifically, would you send provocative photographs of yourself to Amber Geiger?
Yes.
Would Amber Geiger send provocative photos of herself to you?
Yes.
Were there times where you asked her to send particular photos for you and she would do that?
Yes.
Okay, so this kind of relationship, she was familiar enough where you guys would send photographs of one another to each other?
Yes.
All right. You and Amber Geiger at some point crossed from just being professional partners, police partners, into an intimate relationship. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you tell me when that happened approximately?
Sometime in 2017. I don't remember the specific date, no.
Okay. And how long did that relationship last? The intimate aspect of it.
Yeah, maybe the end of 2017. I don't remember for sure.
Okay, you sure that didn't progress well into 2018?
Again, I don't remember. It could have.
Can I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Officer Geiger, I'm sorry, Officer Rivera, I'm showing you Officer Geiger's telephone records. If you'd look at this particular line item, number 1818, dated February of 2018, I want you to read this to yourself, okay?
We're waiting for prosecutors to show the witness some paperwork there, phone records. This, of course, is Officer Martin Rivera. He is the person who admitted that he was in a provocative relationship with the defendant, and they were communicating right before this shooting of Botham John. So let's turn to the in-studio panel. Julie Rendleman is here along with me. What's the relevance of the state getting into this relationship between the defendant and her partner who's now on the stand?
I hate to constantly use the word reasonable, but I think one of the issues is, you know, if she was so distracted because she's looking at things that are not even related to work, but related to kind of the relationship between the two of them, then it goes into the fact that she wasn't being reasonable.
Michael, I got to jump in with you here because we can't hear you very well, Julie, apparently. So the relevance of this ultimately, what's going on here?
Well, we know that she was distracted. We get that. And we know that just before the shooting, there was some long conversation between this officer slash boyfriend and the defendant. So I think that's where we're building to find out what the impact was of that relationship generally and specifically that night.
I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, if she's distracted by the relationship, then doesn't that help the defense case that she wasn't paying attention to what apartment she was in? She wasn't looking at the numbers on the wall. She was just distracted by this thing. How does that help the state?
Well, you know, if she's being unreasonable, and that's going to be the word the state pounds away on compared to the defense arguing reasonableness, then this interaction is critical. They need to find out what her state of mind was when she got to that door, and if it was truly supported by the prosecution's argument that she was distracted, there was something else going on in her mind. It was unreasonable that she was so distracted when this event unfolded.
You know, this is really getting deep in the weeds. This is going to be a case where the jury is going to have to make a very complex legal analysis here. This isn't a lot of fact-based scenario. This is a legal issue the jury really has to decide. This is not a situation of fact, so this could be a tricky one for the jury. We need to sign off for those of you watching on The Debrief, for those of you watching on the Law and Crime Network. We will be back in just a moment with more live coverage of the Amber Geiger trial from Texas.